All right, we're going to start in verse 1 here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Do you all stand to read the Bible? All right, let's go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. Plus, you've been sitting down for a while asking me all these awesome questions. 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. We're going to go through some more of the passage here, but I want to look this evening at the Amalekites. You know, there's some pictures and types in the Bible. We know that the Philistines are a type of the flesh, right? And Egypt's a type of the world. There's types and there's pictures woven throughout the Scriptures. And as Paul wrote, those things which were written aforetime are written for our learning, right? So there are some examples in here of what David dealt with. David experienced these Amalekites. He's in this situation, he's actually working for the king of the Philistines. And he's lying to the king. I won't get into, you know, the ethical conundrum there, you know, whatever. But the king of the Philistines thinks that David is out attacking Judah, his own country, his own people. But really, David is out attacking the enemies of Israel. He's already been anointed to be king. He's already been given that situation, even though Saul is still in power. And he is out doing things. I don't know what his mindset was, whether he's just racking up the dough, or whether he's actually laying a foundation for when he knows he will be king eventually. But he's out attacking the Amalekites. And he has been dealing with these Amalekites several times. If you read the previous chapter, he had whooped them already. He'd been there, done that. But he's out fighting a battle. He's out busy. He's out doing something. He comes back, and he's gotten sucker punched by an enemy he thought he'd already beaten. David had fought many successful battles against Amalek, but when his back was turned, he got sucker punched. Even when we as Christians think we have defeated a problem or gained a victory in our lives, sometimes that thing sneaks right back up on us. And this is what happened to David. And you know what? You know what can happen to you when you think you've gotten a victory? You've been at the altar, you've given that thing up, and man, it hits you again and you fall. You know what happens? You get discouraged. You ever been there? Lord, I've wept over this thing. I've given it to you. I've begged for your help and I fell, Lord. That's discouraging. That's exactly what happened to David. So for just a little bit tonight, we're going to look at how David dealt with his Amalekites and how we can deal with our Amalekites. It happens in our lives the same way it did with David, in a spiritual sense. So let's see what the Lord will have for us. Father, thank you so much for the folks that are here. Lord, the wonderful, Lord, attention and response, and Lord, the apparent interest, Lord, that they've shown in our life, Lord, our ministry. And Father, now as we turn to your word, I pray that you would, Lord, open our understanding, and Father, open our eyes that we would see wondrous things, Lord, that you out of your book. And Father, I pray that you would go with us and Lord, show us through the Scriptures what you'd have us to hear. And Lord, great and mighty things which we know not. We praise you and thank you, Father, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You see, the problem, a big problem in a Christian's life is discouragement. There has been, to this point in deputation, there have been two times now that I've gotten discouraged. I'm weird. I'm a little different, okay? The first one is when we drove 2 hours for a meeting. The pastor knew we were coming. He had scheduled me for an all-day meeting, which means I don't have time to get to another church service in the evening. And so I'm going to drive 2 hours to your church and then 2 hours back. And I got a love offering that wouldn't even fill up half my tank. I'm driving that Dodge pickup out there. And this is a church that said, you know, we can't take on missionaries, but we're having one in every month, and they're taking up a whole day for the missionary, one a month. There's very little thought or consideration for what the missionary's having to deal with. That was discouraging. I said, really? We drove all the way here, and I preached. I tried to be a blessing and tried to be an encouragement, and I can't even barely afford lunch now. That was discouraging. For about 5 minutes. And then I just got frustrated. and I had another situation here recently where a lot of it for me is I have resigned myself to the situation in the country of apostasy, and just it just happens. It's just going that way, and you just kind of got to deal with it. Thankfully, there's churches that are excited and still staying true. Don't get me wrong. And that's definitely an encouragement. So I just pass it off. All right, well, there's another one going down the tubes. I can't do anything about it. I just got to go, just keep driving. I'm going to Chile. I'm not trying to fix churches. I'm 27. What could I do to help anyway? But there was another time more recently. Again, it was financially related. And I got the statement. I'm like, really? Man, I'm leaving in 8 months. 7 months. What's up with this? God knows. It's not up to me. I tell people, you know what? I don't say this much, but I am not on deputation for the money. Okay? Deputation is the system that we have created to put missionaries on the field. That's how we do things as independent Baptists, right? But I am here because God told me to go on deputation. If it was up to me, I'd go get a job or something. But God wants me, for whatever reason, maybe it's to be an encouragement to churches like yours. I don't know. Maybe I got to learn something. Maybe he's teaching me some things. Praise God, whatever. I am here because the express direction of God in my life. And so I just leave the money up to him. We let God take care of those things. And so, see, David, he's fighting a battle that he thought he had already won. In fact, his whole city is a smoldering heap. And everybody's gone. He's got two wives, probably got kids. All of his people have families, and they're gone. And the people spake of stoning him. Verses 1 through 6, the first thing we see is that David encouraged himself. When you're discouraged, you have to get encouraged. Number one, now, on a side note, you can help be an encouragement to somebody else in your church. Paul writes actually, I think I have it here. No, I don't. It's a different sermon. Paul wrote and said that we were beset on every side. Within were fears, without were fightings. There was troubles everywhere, he says, but we were comforted by the coming of Titus. It's like, man, we are having troubles all over the place, and Titus showed up, and man, God comforted us through him. You know what? You can be a comfort. You can be an encouragement to other people in your church. There's people that come through. There's visitors. There's missionaries that come through. And your spirit, your desire to serve God, and your love for one another, that's an encouragement. That can help get somebody down the road. But in David's situation, in our situation, we get down to that spiritual point in our lives where there's just deep discouragement because I thought I got that taken care of, Lord. You know what? David went to the right place. He went to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. There is nobody in this world, nobody in your church, not even your pastor, that can encourage you like the Lord Jesus Christ can. You can be down and out. Man, there's people that really suffer from real depression and thoughts of suicide. You know who can take care of that? Not a 6, 8, 12-step program. Amen. Jesus Christ. That's where our encouragement should come from. That's where our help. I lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. You're looking to anything else in this world except for the Lord Jesus Christ for help. You are in the wrong place. There is all sorts of sources out there, man. They want to give you this. They want to give you a pill. They want to give you a psychoanalyzation. They want to write you a prescription. Wrong. Now look, if you have a actual, you know, hormonal or you know, actual problem, don't take medical advice from me. What I'm telling you is that the medication is not the answer to life's problems. Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. See, he had a lot to be distraught over. For all he knew, we know from the narrative, which is, you know, obviously after the fact, that nobody was harmed or killed. But he's in the middle of the situation, and he doesn't know that. He gets back, and everybody's gone. For all he knew, those wicked heathen Amalekites took all the people over the next hill and slaughtered them all as a sacrifice to their pagan gods. He doesn't know, and the people don't know either, and they are all over him. But all of the people that followed him were in the same situation and were blaming David for their act. My pastor jokes, he says, the first step to problem solving is to assess blame. That's funny. But unfortunately, a lot of times, that's what happens in our lives and in our churches. Something went wrong, and so now we're looking for somebody to blame. Like that's going to help anything. It happened. Now there's fallout to be dealt with. Let's get over it. Let's just serve God together.
Amen.
There's no reason. Look, if something's really bad out of whack, I'm sure you know how that's supposed to be taken care of. But if it's just somebody got their little feelings hurt, or somebody didn't like the color of the carpet or the drapes, well, you don't need drapes. Awesome. If it's something piddly like that, or Galatians chapter 6, it says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one. He didn't say, beat on him and make fun of him and post about him with anonymous posts on Facebook. It says, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness.
Amen.
He says, and being careful, he says, lest ye also be overtaken.
Right.
Watch yourself.
Amen.
David knew where to get that encouragement. Encouragement had to come from the Lord. When our problems surround us, when our difficulties come in our lives and we don't know what's going on, stop and turn to Jesus Christ. That's the first problem in almost the first reason in almost every situation that we face, whether it's discouragement or whether it's defeat or any other thing like that, is we've gotten our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Because if we're looking at Him, everything's in order. You know, we like to give Peter credit for getting out of the boat, but do you know what he did first? Jesus was walking past, and they all freaked out. They said, "Oh, it's a spirit." And Jesus says, be not afraid, it is I. That is a very absolute, factual statement. And what did Peter do? He questioned him. He said, Lord, if it be thou, oh yeah, really? Prove it, Jesus. And he says, wherefore didst thou doubt? He didn't really believe Jesus in the first place. I mean, you know, it's a great story, you know, the whole, you know, walk on the water and keep your eyes on Jesus, all that fun stuff. But he had lost sight of Jesus way before the storm.
Amen. Right.
And see, that's the problem. Is we've got our thing, we've got everything lined out, we've got our lives in order, we got it going. And then, man, a storm rises up, and we've already been distracted from where our eyes should have been, and that's why we're in trouble. Your storms are minor when Jesus Christ is the focus of your life. Your storms are unbearable when you've gotten your eyes off of Him.
Yes, sir.
That's really the basis of that. So first, David encouraged himself. We read verses 7 and 8 where he brought him of the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. First, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Secondly, David inquired of the Lord. He knew not only where to get help, but from where to get direction. We talk about psychological help and all that stuff, but then you've got, you know, James Dobson and all these other guys that want to give you direction. And look, there's some good stuff out there, but make sure you run it through the filter of this book.
Yeah.
Because there's some good guys out there with good intentions and some good advice, and some of that stuff just a little off.
That's right. Amen.
And if you trust somebody because, look at their history, or they got so many letters after their name, instead of running it through what this book says, you are in for a heap of trouble.
Amen.
Our inquiry should always be our Lord.
Right.
Because, everybody know who Kent Hovind is? I love how he says, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
Yeah.
Right? God knew it was coming. Not only that, but as a child of God, if you are going through a situation, God not only knew about it, but he allowed it. So, why are we freaking out about it? We already know where to get encouragement, and we already know who to inquire about for direction on what to do. God's already seen it. He's already prepared it, and it's a test that he's putting you through to see if you're going to react the right way.
Amen.
There's been some times with my kids. I'm not the world's greatest dad. I learned from the best man I know, my dad. But you know what? There's some times, and I don't tempt my kids. I don't try to, give, but I do give them an option. I put a situation in front of them to give them the opportunity to do right or do wrong. And if they do right, I reward them. Commend them. And when they do wrong, I correct it. Why? It's a teaching process. It's the same thing with God in our lives. He gives us a situation. He says, hey, how are you going to handle this? Are you prepared? Have you prepared your heart? Are you going to be submissive to my will in this? Or are you going to get all bowed up, all prideful and arrogant and mad at God because he let something come in your life that you don't think is right? There's people that are, and I have to say this, there's people that I haven't dealt with much. I'll just be perfectly honest. Both my parents are alive and very healthy. I've got family. God has been way better to me in the physical realm, every realm, than I deserve. And there's a lot of people that have endured and have dealt with some things, are dealing with things, health issues, family issues, troubles, and things like that. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is that God is the source of all truth, of all the answers, and he can take you through it.
Amen.
If God brought you to it, he will bring you through it.
Amen.
And all you have to do is rely on him. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. Secondly, he inquired of the Lord. And then down in verse 16 through 19, we have the story where David engaged the enemy. God gave him direction, and David obeyed. See, you can get encouragement from the Lord, and you can talk to the Lord about your situation, but until you obey, it doesn't do you any good. All right? And there's some times where it's just riding out the storm. There's nothing you can do. You just have to let it come. You have to take it. You have to trust God. You have to weep. You stay on your knees. You have to stay in the book, and you have to do that sometimes. And other times, there's a situation where we started out talking about, maybe there's a battle in your own life that you've had to deal with again and again and again. And God will give you direction if you are humble enough to accept it. David said, hey, I don't know what to do. Hey, bring me that ephod over here so I can talk to God. You know what's really awesome is we don't have to have an ephod to talk to God.
Amen.
Just hit your knees, man. He's right there. He wants to hear from us. I think sometimes God wants to hear from us, and he hasn't in a while. So to check up on us and to reestablish that communication, he sends a little trouble our way so we get in touch with him. It's kind of our own fault sometimes. God wants to hear from us. God wants to talk to us. God wants to commune. He created man to commune with him, to walk in the cool of the day with Adam. And then he died so that he could reestablish that. It's a big deal to God.
Amen.
He wants our fellowship. He wants that. And so maybe he brings difficulty in our lives to bring us closer to him. So David engaged the enemy. At the direction of the Lord, David gathered his men and pursued the enemy. Look there in verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Just like God said. What do you know? It's like God knew. When God gives you direction in a situation, all that is required then is obedience.
Amen.
See, David was in a predicament, real bad situation. They had been, everything was gone. All their stuff, all their families, everything was, and their houses were destroyed. There was a smoldering heap back there in Ziklag. But God said, "Hey, go after them. I'm gonna defeat them for you, and you're gonna recover everything." And it happened. Why? Because David obeyed. God wants your obedience. God wants my obedience. We don't necessarily understand why God allows certain things into our lives, whether it's struggles or whether it's whether it's a storm or whether it's a battle with our own stinking rotten flesh. Man, I really wish God would have cleaned up my flesh when I got saved. I mean, you know, we believe that a human is a trichotomy, right? We always say body, soul, spirit, which God says spirit, soul, body. You get everything 180 degrees backwards. But, you know, he saved your soul. He revived, he made your spirit alive. He became a quickening spirit. And your body got nothing. You're still stuck with that old rag.
Yep.
That old, rotten, that old man that in his filthiness and the flesh and all that garbage, Romans 7, if you really want to take a walk down, you know, garbage lane, we're still stuck with this thing.
Yes, sir.
And it's a battle. And there's some times where we got to get on our knees and we got to say, "Lord, help me. I want to live for you. I want to be more like Jesus Christ." Romans 8, 29
Amen.
Says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His dear Son.
Amen.
We are supposed to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know I'm not. I know I struggle. I know I have troubles. Man, we got to get on our face. We know where we need to get encouragement.
Amen.
We know where we need to inquire. And God's going to give us an answer, and that's the time to engage the enemy.
Amen.
Time to make some changes in our lives. You know what? If you struggle with something, maybe there's some things in your life you need to get rid of.
Good.
If there's a person in your life that's dragging you down and influencing you back into an old way or into a part of something that you shouldn't get into, maybe you're going to have to cut off some fellowship or
Amen.
Some interaction.
Right.
That's hard.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to do. Thankfully, I got saved when I was 7. I grew up in a Christian home. The closest thing to bad, well, the worst influences in my lives were my assistant pastor's son and then later my pastor's kids. 75% of the smut I know, I learned from pastor's kids. That's real sorry. I don't know anything about your family. Brother, that was a blessing to have your family up here singing like that. My family sings that same song, a whole bunch of songs. I miss singing and playing with them, play guitar, mandolin, bass with them. And that's one of the biggest things I miss is the fellowship and the music. But that's a testimony to have a family that's serving God together. That's a big deal. There's some pastors that I know, their families are... Let's just put it this way: if people cared more about the qualifications of a pastor, more than just whether or not he's been divorced, there'd be a lot of men in pulpits that don't belong there. I'm probably getting into something I shouldn't get into there, but there's going to come a point in your life you have to make a decision. And it's not just once in your life. This is situation by situation, time again, where you're going to have to say, "Lord, I need some help." And when He gives you direction, the time to obey is right then. Like I said, there's all sorts of things. I'm vague on purpose when I get on stuff like that, because I'm not up here preaching on specific sins and all this different stuff. I'll leave that to your preacher. It's not my business. But just a general encouragement. This is what happens. David was in a bad situation and he knew exactly where to turn to. He didn't flip on the TV and go over to Dr. Phil or Mari or any of those knuckleheaded, daytime. I mean, really. Please don't watch that. He didn't go to the psychiatrist he didn't go to any human being. He went right to the Lord. He hit his knees and said, "Lord, help me." And then he got encouraged. He inquired of the Lord. He found out what he's supposed to do. And then he did it. Amen. That's the way to deal with your Amalekites. That's the way to deal with your storms. It's the way to deal with your situations. God, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Amen. You know, there's a reason when Jesus comes back on a white horse, the Bible says that he is called faithful and true. There's like, 119 names of God in the Bible or whatever crazy number. And that's the number, when he comes back, that's what he chose to be called, is faithful and true. Amen. He's faithful. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. If you fall into temptation, it's your own fault. Because God gave you an exit door.
Amen.
Just inquire the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Inquire the Lord. And engage the enemy. That's the way to deal with our Amalekites. Thank you, preacher.
Bow your head and close your eyes.
Direction, the next thing that should follow immediately is obedience. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. Has God given you any direction? Has God given you any direction on whether how to deal with a storm, whether he's leading you to do something, if he's called you to do something? What direction did you get tonight from the preaching? Whatever that direction is. You know, I have an altar call right after we have a sermon, so you can immediately respond to God. So I'd urge you to respond to God tonight. Lord, we ask you to please bless this invitation. I thank you for the sermon. I thank you for the truth. And Lord, we all have storms that we go through. We all have our Amalekites that we battle. And Lord, even though we've put it down, Lord, it's going to come back up again. I pray that you'd help us to continually to put it down. And Lord, I pray that we'd always seek your face first. And Lord, that we'd do exactly what it is that you've told us that we need to do. We'd act upon it and obey. Father, we're grateful to you, Lord, for the direction you've given to us out of the Word of God. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can hit our knees and come to you directly. We ask you please bless this invitation as you see fit in Jesus' name. If you would please stand.